Okay, Father, bless these words to our hearts. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. And Lord, give us a portion from your throne. Recently, I spoke with a man who was puffed up. He didn't believe the Bible. He said he did, but he didn't believe the Bible. And this was not a wise man. He thought he was very wise because he could talk in a very stuffy way. It's funny how people think that the way that they talk makes them wise or not wise. Some of the deepest things that I've ever heard, the greatest wisdom came through very simple words. For example, God loves you. The greatest truth of the universe, of all of history, the greatest truth in existence. And yet it is through three very simple words. God loves you. There is nothing sophisticated or by any worldly sense honorable in the way that those words can be spoken. And you can try to make an emotional something out of them, but they are simply what they are. You know, I've heard people try to really make that an impact and they get all breathy. Like that's going to really change things. You know, or they get really so, God loves you. It's like, does it work if you say it normal? The Word of God is reality. The Word of God is true. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. And start in chapter 3 and verse 16. I think this is one of the key portions of scriptures because it tells you exactly what the scriptures are. The Word of God says all scripture. And that word means every, all. Every letter of it, all scripture. Not some as we pick or choose. All scripture. And the word scripture is from the word graphe. And it means that the written word of God. So every written word of God, in other words, the entirety of the Bible, is given by the inspiration of God. And the word there, inspiration, is theopneustos, and it means God breathed. God breathed these words out as we speak, we breathe. They were spoken by God. All scriptures were given by the speaking of God. A lot of people say that men wrote the Bible. No, men simply held the pen. That's all they did. It is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. It is profitable first for doctrine. Categories of the Word of God that give me categories of precepts for my understanding so that I can get to know God. Doctrine is categorical. It was written categorically. Some people call it systematic. Some people call it topical. I don't care what you call it. It was in categories. Doctrine is categorical, and that's the way God gave it. And reproof and correction for instruction, and that means like training a child. And I don't mean little toddler children. I mean instruction, the way that we would instruct a child, God instructs us. Our instruction in righteousness. This is why a lot of young people and older people also will ultimately fall into unrighteousness because they try to produce a righteousness through their own self-efforts. And it fails them. It falls short. And ultimately these people will get frustrated and they will fall into things like immorality. Because their efforts at their own righteousness, apart from the Word of God, fail. Doctrine is given for the instruction in righteousness. I need to be taught righteousness. If the Word of God is not being preached properly and in the full counsel, you will have a lot of people falling into unrighteousness in a practical sense. And what I mean unrighteousness, it may be immorality or it may be religion. Both of them are two things on the same tree. Now let's establish that as the premise of what we are talking about today. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Are we set with that? Okay. Then let's look at some Scriptures. If you would turn with me, please, to Isaiah 40, starting in verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things and bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Behold, look at the creation of God. This is what he is saying. Look at the creation of God. A man that I was speaking to not too long ago did not believe what the Word of God said about what God created. He believed that the universe banged into being. Some people believe that people evolved from animals. This is not true. This is not biblical. It is not correct. It is not in the Word of God. And quite frankly, it doesn't have a scientific foundation. Now, evolution has two forms. There is microevolution and there is macroevolution. Microevolution says that we are narrowing down in our genetic information. And this is how we get things like breeds or races. Because we narrow down the information that is contained within populations of organisms. And this does indeed happen, but this is not what people think of when they think of evolution. When they think of evolution, they think that you started out with some single-celled deep-sea organism, even prior to that, some collection of molecules that somehow avoided over millions of years from, you know, avoided being covered up by sediment. I don't know how a molecule was supposed to sit in the ocean for millions of years and never get any sand on it. But these molecules were supposed to sit there for a long time and then somehow come together in a very intelligent, precisely designed manner that the Journal of Cell Biology in the late 1990s called 99.98% accurate, and if it were a language, the arrangement of these molecules. So somehow by dumb luck and really good chance, you had these things sitting in the ocean for millions of years, and if the way that these things came together, if it was a language, it would contain only a 0.02% error rate, the most precise language ever known to mankind. Dumb luck produced this. Dumb luck's pretty impressive. And then somehow these things managed to come together, and somehow they managed to reproduce, even though reproduction involves very sophisticated mechanisms, somehow it reproduced, or somehow a cell was formed out of this. Nobody actually offers an explanation of how this was supposed to have taken place, but somehow it's supposed to have taken place. So now we have something that requires something called intermediate metabolism taking place when that could not have possibly existed yet according to their own theory. And yes, thank you, it is a theory, nothing more. And by that I mean it's not even a very good theory. And somehow this is supposed to have taken place whereby things just started to reproduce, even though even the evolutionists will tell you reproduction is a highly sophisticated, very, quote, evolved process. But before the process evolved, it started to happen. A little bit of bad reasoning, I would say. And somehow these things got wrapped up as a cell, and somehow this cell managed to get other things coming into it, and somehow this all turned into a person. They don't actually offer you an explanation of how, except to say that the need drove this. Environmental needs, natural selection. Natural selection will narrow down the gene pool. For example, if it's too cold for a skinny little naked guy to survive in Antarctica, he's going to die. That's all natural selection is saying. But somehow these things are supposed to have come together to produce extraordinarily complicated organisms. And they still haven't managed to get around the fact that in order to do so, they would have had to get around one of the fundamental laws of science, of biology, that only living things can give life to living things. Life comes from life. This is a well-established fact. It's a biological law. Life comes from life. Somewhere in the past, life must have just popped into being. Well, we know that spontaneous generation does not occur. This is something that has been proven to us over 150 years ago, that spontaneous generation does not occur. But yet, we are told that if it was long ago and only happened once for a very brief period of time, this violation of scientific law is just okay. It's fine. We can let it go. I call that bad science. That's just bad science. And we are told that these things took place, but we are not offered any real significant and substantial evidence. We are offered only evidence which in and of itself is a theory. And then we are told that we should operate on this premise in every form of evaluation that we made, because they call it reality when in fact it is simply somebody's lame idea of how life appeared from without God. They call this scientific, the notion that life came out of nothing. The violation of the laws of biology and the laws of physics. And we are told that somehow the universe, which was at one point smaller than an atom, or so we are told, and this tiny primordial particle contained all the energy and matter that makes up the entirety of the universe. Well, I got news for you. The laws of physics do not agree. Between the resistant forces and the strong and weak nuclear forces and all the forces that exist within nature, you cannot compact this little pencil or pen into something that small. But yet we are being told that this is science and this is what we are to accept as truth. After all, science is science. Well, I'll tell you something. No, it isn't. Sometimes it's just plain mythology. A few hundred years ago, every self-respecting scientist on the face of the planet swore up and down that the world was flat. This is just another way of saying the world is flat. Completely ignoring the realities that are brought out by true and honest, legitimate science. This is the only area of science where you are not allowed to question an inherently necessary component of science. Question. This we are told to accept without questioning. And they call the Bible non-scientific. Well, I got news for you. The Bible knows a heck of a lot better how the world came to be than some person who's puffed up in themselves, who doesn't know the first thing about the first thing. They just happen to have a high opinion of themselves and a high opinion of their own opinion. Well, my Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what bothers me is that there are Christians, so-called Christians, who do not believe this. One of the things I love about the fact that Genesis chapter 1 is at the beginning of the Bible is because the acid test is right there, right from the get-go. If you don't believe that, you don't believe. Plain and simple. You don't believe that, you don't believe. Now, they try to make this all fancy and all confusing, but the Word of God says it's plain and simple. Let's look at Romans chapter 1 for a moment. Let's start at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, I got news for you. There's a lot of believers who are ashamed of the gospel of Christ because they want to be accepted by the world system. And maybe they call it like privately, it's just private. Yeah, private. Yeah, I'm so glad that Jesus didn't have a private faith. If Jesus had a private faith, we'd all be going to hell. Keep it private. No, they deny reality because they're too stinking cowardly to stand for truth. And they're going to answer to God at the judgment seat of Christ, if they're even saved, for that cowardliness of theirs. You see, if they deny the Lord, He will be denying them. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm sorry, but if you're calling yourself a Christian, you don't believe the Genesis account of the Bible, and don't give me this, the Greek this and the original grammar. No, it just says it plain and stinking simple. If you wouldn't be so arrogant as to not believe the Word of God, you got to hide behind the grammar. The Word of God says exactly what the Word of God means in more than one place, thank you. And look at the word day, and it could be, Yom can be this, or it can be that. No, Yom is exactly what God says it is. The morning and the evening were the first day. Before the morning and the evening, until the fourth day, the morning, you know how they define it? Sun up and sun down. It ain't sun up and sun down. There was no sun for 3 days. The rotation of the planet, that was one day, the rotation of the planet. What's a rotation of the planet today? I think they call it a day. You know, today at 6 o'clock, tomorrow there'll be another 6 o'clock. And the day after that, there'll be another 6 o'clock. And it has nothing to do with the fact that the sun is right. What if it happens to be really cloudy that day? No, it's the rotation of the planet. Hide behind the Greek. You know why? Because they don't want to believe the Word of God, because they don't want to humble themselves, because they want to be bigger than God is. Picking and choosing through His Word what is God and what is not. Well, that sure does elevate them above Him. Who is it in the Bible that wanted to elevate themselves above God? Maybe we know their source. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Don't tell me you believe the Bible if you don't believe Genesis, because Genesis is the Bible. It starts right there. I love the fact that if a person doesn't believe, they don't believe from the get-go. To the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein it is righteous. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What is righteousness? Well, Abraham's faith was accounted to him as righteousness. Unrighteousness is a lack of faith. Simple as that. Don't believe Genesis? No faith, no righteousness. They hold the truth, but they hold it in unrighteousness. They hold the truth, but they don't believe it. They have no faith in the Word of God. They have no faith in God's account. They think something they can see is greater than something God has said. And the funny thing is, they don't actually see it. It's like seeing shapes in the clouds. They're not really there. That's why they can't even come up with a solid theory about how things originated that doesn't change every 5 years. Because they're looking for shapes in the clouds. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. You see, they know the Bible. They hold the Bible. They learn the Scriptures, but the Scriptures don't produce faith in their hearts, because they are arrogant. They are proud. They are not meek before God. They will not be taught by the Spirit. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, the invisible things of God, of Him, from, where do they come from? From the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. This guy said it doesn't really matter what order the world, the universe was made in, if the earth was first or the universe was first. But he likes the order in the universe, but he doesn't like the order in the Bible. My Bible says right here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 that invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They have not one excuse, because even the heavens testify of God. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. These people who know so much more than God, saying, oh, all the evidence, which isn't even evidence, which is just somebody's cockamamie idea to support some other cockamamie idea, and that's what they call evidence. And then they see a rock or something, and they theorize about that rock using a false premise, and on the basis of that premise, they theorize into another false idea. It's really all about the premise. You know, evolution is very provable if evolution is your premise. If evolution or the Big Bang is the basis on which I evaluate all the evidence, then all the evidence is going to point to evolution and the Big Bang. It's circular reasoning. They profess themselves to be wise, and God calls them fools. Let's turn, please. Let's go to Psalm 19. Starting in verse 1. The heavens, this is not talking about the three heavens. These, you know, it's funny about these people. They don't even know there's three heavens. I bet you they don't even know there's four hells either.
Well, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, probably you need to be educated. The heavens, and this is talking about the second heaven, that which is above us. Not God's heaven, not the third heaven. Paul was taken into the third heaven. Not that heaven, the second heaven. The heaven that contains the universe, space, stars. The heavens declare the glory of God. You're telling me the world, the universe came into the Big Bang? The heavens contain the glory of God. Dumb luck produced it? You know what's funny about these people? They're not even very scientific, because the evidence they don't like, they don't listen to. They pick and choose through their own evidence. This agrees with what I say, that's evidence. It doesn't agree with what I say, don't have to listen to it. Well, who made them God, huh? Who made them God? They are the definition of science in their own mind. God calls them fools. They profess themselves to be wise. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. That which is in the sky shows God. Now, there's a really good book called God's Voice in the Stars that talks about this. How all the constellations are actually about the gospel. They are the story of time. From the creation of the universe to the return of Christ. This is not an uncommon thing. This is how the wise men knew when it was time to go into Jerusalem, because they knew how to properly interpret the position of the stars, not through that perversion they call astrology today, but proper interpretation of the way that God had set up the order in the stars, not through some banging. Explosions don't produce order, thank you. But through actual created order. God does all things decently and in order. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork day unto day. Oh, there we go again, days. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. You see, the word of God is written in the sky. On the fourth day, God put the stars into their courses for signs and for seasons. The word of God is written in the sky. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. This is why no man has an excuse in Romans chapter 1. Their line, the word there is quav, and it means dominant, rule, voice, measuring line. I'm sorry, domain, or rule, or voice, or measuring line. What is the measuring line? The word of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the finished work is written in the stars. That is the measuring line. Their line is gone out through all the earth. And that word earth means the populated portion of the planet. And their words to the end of the world, in them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. You think God didn't design the universe? You think God didn't put it all into motion? You think God didn't put the stars in their places? You think God didn't create creation? You think God didn't make man as man is? My Bible says He did. And I got news for you. My Bible will outlast your mythology you call science. Because true science has never been in contradiction with the Bible. True hardcore science, where the evidence is the main issue. Hard evidence, tangible, look at it, pick it up, feel it, touch it, look at it, examine it, has never been in contradiction with the Bible. Only these guys who like these fanciful ideas in their minds, these foolish people who say, my opinion of what I can interpret through my limited understanding and my limited knowledge is greater than what God's unlimited mind has given and imparted through His Word, I call them stupid. Now let's look at Genesis for a moment. In the beginning, The word there is Resheth, the first place, in time, order, or rank, the chief, the principal thing. In the beginning, God. And here we are talking about the three persons of the Trinity. Created, and that word there is bara, and it means absolutely created in all its entirety, the heaven and the earth. Now there, that word heaven is not talking about heaven as in God's eternal heaven, it is talking about the sky. That is not just talking about the sky, it is not talking that broadly. It is talking about the space. What it is saying there is that God created the earth and the space in which it is contained. The earth was made first. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created space and the earth that occupies that space. And the earth was without form and void. That means it was barren. It was lifeless. And the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. First God created the space that contains the earth, and then He put the earth into that space, and then God created energy. Now we know that matter and energy are the same thing. But it had a source. It didn't come from nothing, and it didn't come from nowhere. It came from the ultimate source. It came from God. We are being asked to believe that all these things came out of nothing. And because they can't explain how you can get something out of nothing, they come up with foolish theories that try to say how gravitational force and electromagnetic force and strong and weak nuclear forces all somehow came together to form the first primordial particle. Well, you know what? You don't have those forces if you don't already have matter. Those forces won't exist on their own. Matter is required to have those forces. Example, the definition of gravity requires two masses. If there is one mass, there is no gravity. It requires two masses. So where do those masses come from? You know why? They're contradicting their own definitions. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So what did God do? God established order. God, who has all power, went against the law of entropy, which you can do if you have an outside source of energy. But things left to themselves will not separate light into darkness, areas of energy into areas of no energy. You need an outside source of energy to do that. Now we are being asked to believe that this happened on its own. Incredible order and precision in the universe happened by chance, all on its own, contrary to the laws of physics. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now a lot of people argue, what does the first day mean there? Well, the first there is a word that is a cardinal number. All the other numbers are ordinal numbers. A cardinal number means first, the very first. It's a unique first. Day number one. That's where it all started. These people who say we evolved, they don't know the first thing about the Word of God. Oh, maybe our gene pool narrowed down. Maybe we broke apart into races because of genetic isolation through genetic drift. Or maybe natural selection gave us certain aspects whereby a darker person may survive better against sun than a lighter skinned person. But even then there are components of genetic drift, because not everybody who lives on the equator has the same tone of skin. So it really was a numbers game, even more than natural selection. Natural selection may have wiped some things out, but it sure didn't really do a whole lot more than that. It did in some respects. I mean, you get things like the bubonic plague and smallpox, so natural selection meant that only those people who had immune systems that could resist those things could survive, but that was not changing a human into a fish. In the morning and the evening was the first day. Well, my Bible says that God didn't create the universe until the fourth day. Let's look at verse 14. And God says, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs," and that's the word oath, means beacons, monuments, providence, evidence, "and for seasons," noada, sacred seasons, "and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth," and it was so. Well, that's not just talking about lights as in lights. That's talking about the Word of God, Psalm 19, the Word of God in the sky. There was light upon the Word. It was a monument to those things which God was going to do in time. It was the evidence. It was a beacon. And God set them in the heaven, in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and to over the night, and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. You see, there goes that whole notion of the day-age theory, which is nonsense. People playing games with grammar when the Word of God says what the Word of God says very plainly. A day is a day, and it always has been a day. If you look up that word day by the Hebrew traditions, that meant a 24-hour period of time. And if the Hebrew traditions in the Hebrew language that these words were originally written in isn't good enough, then just read the Bible. How do you get day and night without a sun and the stars and all that? You know how you get it? You don't. You get the turning of the planet. God wrote the Bible in words that men could understand in the day that it was written. They didn't know anything about the rotation of the planet. They didn't know anything about the solar system or anything like that. But they did know morning and evening. So the evening and the morning was the first day. One complete rotation of the planet. I don't care what you want to play with the grammar. The Word of God says what the Word of God says. Now, these people who don't believe the Word of God as being the Word of God, but denying the creation power of God, you know what they're doing? They're denying Christ. Because it is within the creation that Christ is glorified. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 3, please. Starting in verse 9. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Excuse me, let's try that again. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by whom? By Christ." Do you know why Satan hates the creation account? It's another attack against the gospel of Christ. It was created by Christ. "To the intent that now, unto the principalities of powers in heavenly places, might be known to the church the manifold wisdom of God." Creation reveals the wisdom of God. Back to Psalm 19. Creation reveals the knowledge. Day unto day, and night unto night, right? Night unto night speaks knowledge. "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." What kind of purpose, by the way? Eternal purpose. Does God have a purpose? Yes, I think so. The Bible says so. Yeah. He has a purpose. God, who does all things decently in order, didn't just say go and walk away. My Bible says that we are the workmanship of His hands. We were formed by Him. And we were formed in His image. We didn't just get created by dumb luck. And I don't care what some puffed up somebody has to say who thinks their opinion is greater than the Word of God. That person's a fool. I don't care who they are. I don't care what kind of an alphabet soup they have behind their name. God's not impressed. They don't believe. They don't believe. My Bible says the just shall live by faith. What does that say against those about those who don't have faith? Maybe they're not just. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in Him. Funny how God should put that part about creation with faith. Funny how that's all in the same context. Funny how that's all in the same portion of Scriptures. Don't believe in creation, don't have much faith, do you? Well, how is it that you were saved? Well, my Bible says that we were saved by grace through faith in Ephesians chapter 2, right? We're saved by grace through faith. Don't believe in the creation? Are you saved? Maybe you are, but frankly, I wouldn't put a plug nickel on it. Why? Because it's removing from the Word of God. Revelation 22, you can't do that. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, please. Starting verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. By the way, where is redemption from? Through His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And here it comes in verse 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things. Hello? How many? All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by all things consists. By Him all things consist. Hello? How did it come together? By Him all things consist. How did it happen? How did we become what we are? By Him all things consist. All things were created by Him. Whom? By Christ. This is why they don't like creation, because they don't like Christ.
Oh, I like Christ fine. I just think that the scientific evidence really reveals other possibilities.
No, the scientific evidence does not. It's your own puffed up little misinterpreting brain that doesn't believe the Word of God, that probably isn't even saved, that doesn't know the Savior or the Maker. Why? Because if you did know the Savior, the Holy Spirit would be in you to convict you, to tell you that this is not the reality. The Word of God is the reality. Why is it that these people who profess to be Christians can violate and contradict the Word of God and still profess themselves to be Christians when the Holy Spirit would convict them if it were not, as the Bible says? The Holy Spirit would convict them if they started making up these foolish little stupid ideas of theirs. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit just might not even be in there. I don't know. I don't want to stand in judgment of them. But I tell you, I sure would not put a plug nickel on the salvation of somebody who contradicts the Bible. Let's close with Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Why is he worthy? Because he has created all things. You know what they're saying when they're saying that God did not create the world, that God did not create life, that God did not create all things as they were created, that they somehow evolved or banged into being? They are saying God is unworthy. It's just another satanic accusation against God, just like in Ezekiel 28. God's not worthy, Satan's more worthy. That's what they're saying. They don't realize it. They don't use those words. But that's the spirit. They don't know their own spirit. They don't know their own source. They don't know what they say, and they don't know why they're saying it. I don't care if they call themselves a Christian or not. The Bible says what the Bible says. And if they don't believe it, they don't believe it. Don't tell me you believe in the Bible if you don't believe the Genesis account. You don't believe in the Bible. If you don't believe in the Bible, well, if you remove one single word in Revelation 22, read it for yourselves. If you remove one single word from the Scriptures, and this book in Revelation 22 is not talking about Revelation, it is talking about the inspired Scriptures. Check the original language for yourselves. You remove one word from the Scriptures, God removes your name from the book of life. The only people who have their name removed from the book of life is those who've never gotten saved. Plain and simple. Don't like it? Too bad. Face God with your opinions. Tell you one thing, I'm a whole lot more afraid of God than I am of some joker trying to puff himself up against God. You know why? Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. They want to fight that, they can go fight with God. This is the Word of God, folks. We can't play games with it, and I don't care who doesn't like what, we can't play games with it. I, for one, don't intend to. I don't care who likes it, who doesn't like it. They can go talk to God, because as sure as you're sitting here tonight, even more sure than that, you're going to be facing God. And you're going to face Him at the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ, or you're going to be facing Him at the right throne, one or the other, but you're going to face God. And you're going to answer, every knee shall bow, even the puffed up knee. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now that's the Bible. Now you may think your opinion, I don't think anybody here, but you may think your opinion is higher than the Bible. Yeah, we'll see how well you're doing when you're facing God with that opinion. Folks, always stay humble towards the Word of God. Never think that your opinion is higher than God's Word. It is not. No opinion of any man is higher than the Word of God. God says, let God be true and every man a liar. If every man on the face of the planet says the Bible is not true, the Bible will remain true. It is the only thing that will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Like what Voltaire said. Voltaire said, in 100 years, the Bible will be gone and Christianity will be dead. 100 years later, Voltaire's house was a Bible printing shop and Voltaire was dead. I think God has a delightful sense of humor. Make no bones about it. The Word of God is the Word of God. I don't care what some fool says it isn't. The Bible is the Word of God. Have you ever considered how one man with a handful of men and a few women who never wrote a book, who never became a king or a president or anything like that, who never led any army, who never really did anything but get himself killed, managed to change the world? Well, maybe he was God. Amen. Yeah.